Well, welcome to the Post Sunday app. I'm Ben Davidson. This is Daniel Bennett, and we are here to talk about the sermon Post Sunday and the applications that can come from it. So, what's interesting is the preacher of the sermon.
He's on vacation.
He went to
one of the hardest passages in all of Scripture, preached it, and said, "Aloha,
yeah.
You know, I'm out of here."
Right.
He didn't go
right.
to Hawaii. But.
No. But it was a very difficult passage. It's one that volumes have been written about.
Yeah.
And so we did. There were a lot of questions about it, and so we thought it would be helpful to get on here on the Post Sunday app and talk about some of the different interpretations of the passage and why Phil landed where he did.
And Phil had even emailed me and said, "Hey, here's a question someone else had about this passage and how I approached it, and here's why I wrote to them." So I really appreciate him doing that on his vacation too. And
It's Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 12. And in particular, I guess it's verses 4 through 8, where a lot of the challenging stuff is there.
Yeah, so, and by the way, all I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the notes in an ESV study Bible. And if you're looking for a Christmas gift, and someone you love doesn't have a study Bible, something like this would be a good thing to do. And I think this week or right now, Amazon has a deal on.
As of right now.
Maybe it doesn't still exist, but it's like $20 for a hardcover.
Major discount.
Yeah. And you bought one today?
I did get, not today, I got it a couple days ago.
Okay. I bought one today.
Did you buy one today?
Okay. So we got one for my future daughter-in-law. We bought Marissa one for her birthday.
And now I will be buying one for my future daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to be not surprised. Because she's for sure going to listen to this. Anyway, we're wasting people's time.
Right.
Okay, so Hebrews 6, he says, "It's impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened," this is verse 4, "who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away." So they've done all these things and then they've fallen away. It's impossible to renew them, restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. So the question then is, who are those there? And then what does it mean to have done all the things that they've done? And then what does it mean to fall away?
Right.
And there are, and I think what Phil did is he wanted to create a tension in, he didn't want us to just say, "Oh, well, we know believers can't lose their salvation." And so he wanted to create a tension and say, "Okay, well, I got to really take this warning seriously." And I'll tell you, I was tense. I was on the edge of my seat. Where is he going with this? That's, so mission accomplished. But the question is, okay, who are these people? And the ESV, I think, does a great job boiling it down to four major interpretations that you see.
Yeah.
One, some argue that these phrases describe true Christians and that true Christians can lose their salvation. So I would disagree, and Phil would disagree with that on not just exegetical grounds, but theological grounds. Say, okay, theologically, we know that that's not true as we look at other texts, and Phil referenced some of those. So we know that interpretation's wrong. The fourth interpretation that the ESV study notes talks about is that the falling away described in Hebrews 6:6 is a loss of heavenly rewards. So it's not a loss of salvation, but it's a loss of heavenly reward. Now that's a theologically defensible position. We wouldn't say that a person who's teaching that is teaching a false gospel or teaching a false doctrine. I would have a problem with that on exegetical grounds. I'd say the first view is wrong theologically. This view is wrong exegetically. Now there's two more ways to interpret this. One, or the second. Yeah, thank you. The second is that these people may have participated fully in the Christian covenantal community where they experienced all these things. They saw public repentance. And when people like this fall away, it's clear that they are not true Christians because they've not made a true saving response to the gospel, resulting in faith, love, perseverance. So, and that's where Phil landed. Mm-hmm. He landed there yesterday. That these are true Christians. These are not true Christians, but they've been around a true Christian covenant community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why that's what he alluded to, you know, the people of Israel and how they fell away. And he's saying this is the same thing. They were part of they were participating in a covenant community, but weren't truly part of God's covenant people mm-hmm. by faith.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask a question.
Yeah. Okay.
So some of the language here, uh-huh. right, is that they have tasted the goodness of the word of God, the powers of the age to come. They have, they've once been enlightened, it says in verse 4, have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say covenant community, to explain that, you're basically saying they almost like operated like they were a Christian.
Yeah.
They may have come to prayer meeting. Yep. They may have prayed at the prayer meeting. Yep. They may have gone out to an evangelism mission trip, evangelistic mission trip, that type of thing. But yet they weren't truly converted.
Yep.
So
anything you expect a Christian to do, you've seen them do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so you think, maybe even they themselves think,
mm-hmm.
And that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's scary to think about that we can deceive ourselves so fully that we're part of the covenant community. But we can all think of people that, if this second view that the ESV talks about here is correct, we can all think of people that fit that category, can't we?
Mm.
You know, I that person, they tasted, they seem like they're a part of it, but they hadn't truly trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Mm. There hadn't been true repentance and faith in Christ.
Yeah.
And so I think Phil was right to kind of to spend some time making us feel some of that tension.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to mention the third one?
And then the third view. Yeah. The third view is so the second is theologically and exegetically defensible. I think the third view is also theologically and exegetically defensible. Another view is that the warnings are addressed to true believers, and though they will never completely fall away, the warnings are the means that God uses them to challenge them to persevere in their faith, and so to preserve those whom the Lord has chosen. So it's almost like a hypothetical look. If you were to do all this and then fall away, it'd be impossible to renew you to repentance. And so a person says, well, I know that that's not true of me, so I'm going to continue to persevere in the faith. So I think both 2 and 3 can potentially be true. I think this can be a warning to unbelievers to make sure that they're truly of the faith. And I think it also can be used as a warning to believers to say, hey, you don't want this to be true of you. And so God uses that as a means to continue to cause them to persevere in the faith. Now it's probably not both of them. It's one or the other, because some of those can't be both believers and unbelievers.
Mm.
And so view 2 is saying it's unbelievers. View 3 is saying it's believers, but it's a hypothetical and it's not going to happen. Those both can't be true, but God can be using them both. This passage, both in the life of the believer and unbeliever. But I lean towards the second view. The third view has a lot. I've been introduced to the third view more in the last few years, and there's a lot to commend it, but I think I'd follow her
in
that second view.
So if someone does pick up an ESV study Bible, you would say the second view is the one that we would hold to.
Well, not necessarily we. As a, like, what I would say is we as a church do not hold to the first view.
Sure.
And I think we could say, I don't know of anyone that would hold to the fourth view in terms of interpreting this passage that way, but certainly we all agree that believers can suffer loss of reward.
Mm-hmm.
So
So
any of the last 3 views, I think, are
they're
all within our doctrinal statement,
mm-hmm.
teaching
mm-hmm.
statement.
Yes. But to clarify then, though, we can say we when it comes to can an authentic believer lose their faith, that we would say that's the we, I guess.
I
should have clarified that better. So
It's almost like this is a hard passage.
Almost.
Because there's so many different components you're having to make sure
mm-hmm.
you talk about clearly.
Yeah.
So
Very good.
Okay. Appreciate all the questions. And
While we're on the video here, we have a Thanksgiving fellowship.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah.
What are you making for it, Daniel?
Well, you know what? It's a Thanksgiving surprise.
A Thanksgiving surprise. Okay. Well,
I will probably be as surprised as everybody else.
right. A week from Sunday, Our typical Sunday evening service will be at Thanksgiving Fellowship, where there's more details on Church Center, but you can bring a little something to eat and to share, and we'll have a sweet time of thanking the Literally. Lord for his provision. Literally.
Yeah, so sweets and snacks.
And sweet fellowship.
Yeah.
Lots of sweet stuff.
Yeah.
That night.
Yeah, but it's not just sweet things.
Oh, that's true. Appetizers or desserts,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. So, yeah.
See, you have been thinking about this. Wow.
A little bit. Really impressed. Like, my mouth is literally salivating a little bit right now.
Just okay, we better close this
up. Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Post Sunday app. Have a great rest of your day.